Thank you, Lord, for breaking your body for us to make us whole people, restored in body, soul, and spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for us. Thank you, Lord, this morning that your words, they are spirit and they are life. And they are eternal life. And they are answers and solutions to all our struggles in this life. Thank you, Jesus, for each one that is here. Lord, may we feast on your word and feast together in remembering all the things you've done for us and you laid down your life for us. You broke your body. You spilled your blood. Hallelujah. Thank you for redeeming my soul. I feel so unworthy sometimes to stand in your presence. Father, you are so awesome, so majestic, and so holy, and yet so loving, so kind, and so good and gracious. We just want to partake together today in thinking much of you. Thinking, Father, not ever wanting to forget what you've done. Just can't help but think of the words this morning that you said, as oft as ye do this, do it in remembrance of me. It will revitalize your vision and it will restore if there's something wrong. We just deal with, Father, whatever's in our heart and just come to you today, to your table, Lord, that we would be able to together commemorate, to be encouraged. Thinking about forgiveness, thinking about captivity that sets us free. Your blood sets us free, what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. As we take a look at your word now, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good to be with you all this morning. What a joy, what a pleasure it is to together partake of the one bread that gives us life, the one bread that has brought forgiveness, the one bread that has brought restoration. You know, I was looking at that loaf of bread that we brought this morning and couldn't help but think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. Just a very profound thing that he says about bread. He says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Just like that loaf of bread down here, if I would take it up in my hand, you would see just one big loaf, but there were many kernels of wheat that were smashed and put into that loaf, broken. And it's that oneness, being broken together in Christ, that we can be one loaf this morning together and partaking of that one bread. You know, I was thinking about John chapter 6. Just one of my favorite chapters when it comes to thinking about communion And I'd just like to share a little bit about bread of life. That loaf of bread that's up here on the in the front here, that bread is delicious for the moment. And that bread nourishes for the moment. But it's not real long after you eat that bread that you want more. You're hungry again. And it gives sustenance and it gives life for the moment, but it's not everlasting. And here Jesus, in chapter 6 of John, he expounds on being the bread of life. Some of the people thought he was a good teacher. To some, he was a prophet. To some, he was the son of Joseph and Mary. He was just part of us. He was just, how can he say he came from heaven? He's right here with us. He's one of us. And here he is saying all these words. But to Peter, and Peter had it right. Peter said, he said it best, "We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had it right. And who is he to you today? Is he the Christ, the Son of the living God? Who is he to you today? And I have this feeling within my heart that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or you wouldn't be here. But you know, the interesting thing is in this passage that I'll be reading to you from John 6, it said there were disciples of his that walked away. And I pray to God this morning that we would not be on that same level that they were, that we would be able to discern God's truth this morning as we read over it. Beginning in verse 26, you know, the interesting thing, before he goes into this time with the crowd, you read the beginning of the chapter, and he does a very powerful miracle. There were 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and thousands of people. And he blessed it, and the bread kept coming, the fish kept coming, and thousands of were fed from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What a powerful miracle. And you would think by now these people would be, they saw, and you would think they would be believing. But that's so true today. Many people see but still don't believe. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth forever, a lasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" You know, it was interesting as I was looking at this and I paged through Matthew Henry. He said in reality, these people were thinking that they had to do something great, a great work for God. And so they were asking Jesus, "What can we do?" And Jesus, to me, when I read this, it's just like Jesus said, you don't have to do anything. The greatest work that God wants to do is have you believe. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God." Here's God's work. You're thinking in these terms, but here's God's work, that ye believe on him whom ye hath sent, that you believe on me, Jesus, whom he hath sent. And then in verse 30, they said, "Therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? what dost thou work? So what are your credentials? What makes you think that we should believe you? Well, here he just done a powerful miracle for them, and they saw with their own eyes. What more? And then if you read through the chapters before that, he healed the crippled man. He healed the nobleman's son, and he turned water into wine, and many of these same people witnessed that. What more were they to see? And they said, give us a sign, which tells you their hearts were so unbelieving, and they were so on the natural things of life, they couldn't think beyond. And so here they go. On this natural level, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And that's what happened when Jesus came down. He laid down everything. He laid down his robe, his crown, and the seat beside God. And he came down in the form of human flesh. And he gave his life for the world that they might be saved. That was the true bread. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So here you think they're starting to understand. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. So here Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the works that I have done, and you still believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It's just that simple and yet so hard. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It was hard for them to think past that Jesus was just one of the guys, one of them, and that Jesus was the son of Joseph and Mary. How could he say he came from heaven? And so that's where their mind wanted to stay. But he said, it's so easy. He said, if you would just believe, I will give you everlasting life. I lost where I was at. Okay, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And then he says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Let me just come back to that. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Totally not believing, not getting what Jesus was saying, not discerning the spiritual that was in all these words, the spiritual life. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. That bread didn't keep them alive forever. They're dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forevermore. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Whenever I read that, it kind of rips at my heart, because I've had friends and I've known people who were once born-again believers, and they walked away. And when I would meet him later on, I would sometimes just ask them, what caused you to turn away? They said, it's too hard. And that is a common response with a lot of people who walk away. It's too hard. I can't handle it. They aren't understanding the words of Jesus here. I love Peter's response. Peter said, Jesus looks, as you go down through the last several verses, Jesus looks at his disciples. And he said, will you also go away? Those that were really, they seemed very staunch in their belief, he asked them, how about us? Who is Christ to you today? Is he the bread of life? Is he the one that has brought you deliverance and restoration? Has he the one that has brought you purpose? I love what Peter says. Peter says, where would we go? Why would we walk away? You're the only way. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Why should we give up? Jesus has the answers. He has the words of eternal life, but many of his words are not discerned with our natural mind. And if that's where we're living, it's hard to understand that. And that's why so many say, this is too hard. I can't understand it. I quit. Not realizing that decision will take him down a path to destruction, and many of them die awful deaths. I've had friends, well, even my father, until his deathbed, which I had the privilege of standing there, and I just begged him to tell me, do you know Jesus? I did not want him to go to hell, because all his life he had given up and did his own thing. He once was a staunch believer. He once was preaching the word of God to people. I talked to many people who were close friends of him, and they said, we never dreamed your father would do what he did, that he would run off and that he would live with another woman and leave all you kids. Never dreamed that he'd do that. He always was quoting scripture. Some of us thought he would be a preacher someday, ordained. Too hard. I quit. Can't understand all this. You know, Jesus is not asking us to try to understand it all. He's asking us to, by faith, believe and take his outstretched hand, and he's just longing for us to grab it, and he'll just lead us along. And we can experience what David experienced. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm content taking his hand and letting him shepherd over my life. I don't have to understand everything. I know a lot of perfectionists think they have to know everything before they can totally believe. And I think that was a lot of the problem here with these people. They thought everything had to be a certain way before they could believe. And that still is going on in our world and even among God's people. It has to be a certain way before they can believe. I don't understand this. I can't go on like this. I have to know. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor. Take my hand. I will give you rest. You don't have to wrestle with all of these things. I want to be your shepherd. I want you to experience no want, just to be content in me. The minds of the people could not grasp beyond the natural. And so often, their own understanding couldn't get past that. What's your response today? What's my response? My response is, Lord, where else can I go? I saw the life of my father where it took him. I saw my friends who said, we can't do this. We're going to do something that's fun, something that's better, something that we can understand. I saw them go that path, and they died unsaved. Their end was much worse than their beginning. They began running the race, as Dave was preaching from Hebrews chapter 12. started out, and Jesus said, I want to finish what I've started in you, but so many of them along the way said, this is too hard. I can't take another step in this race. I'm just totally out of breath, and nothing's making sense. I'm done. And Jesus said, I'm the one that has authored the beginning of your life. Please let me finish it. Let me guide you. Let me be your shepherd. I have given everything possible for you. I have laid down my life. I have broken my body. I have shed my blood. What more can I do for you? As a songwriter said, what more could he do? He laid his life so beautifully, and he was always so just and true. What more could he do? And then his response was, through the eyes of faith, I see what he did, and I believe. I love what Paul said here in Corinthians 11, communion. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You know, that I was listening to John Piper on the way to church here, and I was blessed what he said. He was just sharing about that verse, proclaiming or showing the Lord's death till he come. And he was saying it's like we as believers are proclaiming, have the privilege of proclaiming the Lord's death by partaking together. We're proclaiming who he is and what he's done for us. And if there's unbelievers sitting among us, they see us proclaiming of the wonderful thing that Jesus Christ did for us, by us all together, one body, one Lord, one baptism together, partaking of that one bread. And that's one bread is what brings us together. And we together proclaim as the body of River of Life what Christ has done, the awesome thing that he did for us. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Just simply saying unbelievers should not be partaking of the Lord's supper or of communion, because it'll just do damage to their lives. But we as believers, we welcome unbelievers among us during times like this, because we love to proclaim to anyone who doesn't believe the awesomeness of Christ, the bread of life, of what he's done for us, the deliverance we've experienced because of his sacrifice. And it's just a wonderful testimony that we as the body at River of Life, we can show forth to anyone among us that it's a beautiful thing together that we can proclaim Jesus, of who he is and what he's done for us, and that we believe and we are not giving up. We are not turning away just because things aren't going right in our lives. He says, examine yourself, check your heart, and if there's something not right, take care of it and enjoy coming to the table together. That's all I have this morning, and I'm just going to open it up. If anybody has any testimony you'd like to share, or I want you all to know, if you love Jesus and you're walking with him, join us. If you're a believer this morning and you're current in your life with Jesus, just join us here together as we think and commemorate and remember what Jesus has done for us.